Hello, and welcome to the Ethical Slut Podcast.
Got a body built for pleasure, so please, please me. Basic sex is boring, let's fuck like movie stars.
Well, things sure have been interesting. Oh. I reconnected with a past lover, and those of you who know will know, and those of you who don't need to know, but things didn't go so well, and it's a shame, but that's the way it goes. And the event where this person and I didn't do so well in a conversation preceded a modern existential crisis. What is a modern existential crisis, you may ask? Or you may be thinking, what the fuck? I don't want to know. Well, I'm going to tell you anyway. So a regular existential crisis is like, who am I? Do I really exist? Or what is the world? Does it really exist? Or does it exist in the way I understand it to exist? Or, you know, like that. But a modern one is where your gut are too far. So you're not really sure about yourself, not really sure about the world. And in particular, I felt that way about the ethics around love and gender. Identity politics in a way too. What is that? Google it. So I started thinking about my two relationships, one with, well, pre-established relationships that are still established, one with my girlfriend, who also happens to be a transsexual woman, and the other with my boyfriend, who is, I actually don't like having to say this, but a cisgender male. So he's just like a straight up guy. He has a penis. He's cool with people knowing he has got a penis, I guess. I don't know. Whatever the fuck cisgender really means in actual reality. And some nice bandsawing in the background. I hope you like that bit of texture here on a, what day is it? Sunday afternoon. That's right. It's a beautiful day. I'm sitting in the front room. I got the birdies. They've been having it off, sounding like a broken washing machine, as my girlfriend loves to say. As we both love to say, these birds can really go at it. Anyway, I digress. So, when I got off the phone to, you know, from my ex and went click, because I was pretty pissed, and block, because I was really, really, really pissed, and then started going, existential crisis, I had decided at that time, okay, that's it. Combined with my birthday coming up, my birthday is coming up. I'm just going to stay offline until after my birthday. That's fine. That's what I'm going to do. And that was my plan until my two partners got worried about me. And
this broadcast has been interrupted by me accidentally saying my girlfriend's name. We will return to the story after this beep. Beep.
Okay, so girlfriend. Oh, thank you, Bansaw. Who needs backing tracks when you want lovely sound. Anyway, I shall press on. That's right, Bads. Let's keep going. So my girlfriend came over, and I did get to speak to her first. I decided I would plug back in after, I think it was like 36 hours or something like that, of being offline completely. And she was actually on her way here, nearly here, because at first it was like, don't come over. I'm too angsty. too angsty for anybody to come and talk to me. But when I found out she was in the neighborhood, I was like, come over, come over. So she sat and listened while I cried and said, look, this is what I'm struggling with ideologically, and it directly affects how our relationship is established, because there's this huge canyon of a divide within feminism, which is already super fractured. Like, there's the whole white feminism thing and, you know, womanism as a replacement for white feminism, or is it, or I don't know, I can't comment too much on that, on the womanism thing. That's for women of color to talk about. And so within, like, outside of even that, there's a massive divide between the women that call themselves intersectional feminists, which means that you embrace that there are many flavors of woman, from young to old to women of color to differently abled to also transsexual. Can you tell? This is like my brain is fried from thinking about this. Transsexual, non-binary, queer. There's just so many intersections. And who gets to be in and out of the intersections is a whole thing. And then you've got more traditional feminists, which I suppose that's where I first, you know, became aware of feminism and understood feminism, was more from this standpoint of men suck. No, okay, I'm just kidding. But the divide is like, are trans women women? And that is a whole can of worms I'm just not even going to get into. It's just, it's a massive divide which people get very upset over. For example, recently there was a trans woman that was allowed to play in, even saying the word allowed feels weird, in Australian Federation Football, AFL, I think that's what it stands for. So in the like regular kind of like battle of the footballs, she was, you know, cool to do that. But then when they had the, I don't know, whatever it is, battle of the balls, the big one, then they went, oh, no, it's not cool because you're not, or not enough of actually a woman to do this. And she was very gracious and stood down, but it's like there's a lot of controversy about it. So there's that, and then there's like Caitlyn Jenner, who is a trans woman, if you don't know, who won Woman of the Year and for something or other, and some magazine, and she said the hardest thing about being a woman is figuring out what to wear. Well, women were not very impressed with that. And then there's Jermaine Greer and other feminists who are like her, speak out about the status quo of trans women being women. And it's, oh yeah, it's a tricky one. Like, lots of death threats for women who take this line of, Jermaine Greer and her peers, or one peer that I know of. Okay, so it's like a hotbed. And the scene around me, and I understand this to be the status quo in the lefty scene in the West, it's your Greer is bad, and feminists who are embracing of trans and non-binary, like people like Clementine Ford, are good. And that was said to me by my boyfriend, which I was not very happy about, because don't mansplain to me which feminist bad, which feminist good. No. And so I looked into it, and then I was like, ah, this is huge. And then when I had the argument with my ex, it all came out, and I just had to look back, and it was just it's a nightmare. So I realized I don't really fit anywhere, honestly. I don't agree with using any kind of hate language against a group that's already marginalized, and hate language in general just ain't my bag. I like to see if we can look at the problem differently, ask a different sort of question that may lead us to a more helpful outcome. Or leave us, you know, I don't know, leave us, whatever, as long as we get there into a more helpful place rather than a throwing sticks and stones at each other kind of place. But, you know, as I said to my girlfriend, good intentions are not enough. Mark Zuckerberg had the best of intentions about Facebook, and look where we are now. So, you know, just saying, good intentions simply are not enough by any stretch of the imagination. So, I was thinking, what do I do about this? How do I even enter a discussion with my two partners who are along the lines of the intersectional feminist ideology? And I'm really sorry, I will talk about sexy stuff towards the end, okay? So hang in there. It's tricky. And I honestly did not feel at all optimistic about the outcome. Fortunately, my girlfriend is very enlightened, and she really, 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 really likes me. And I guess luckily for me, a good woman is hard to find. And so she's like, all right, we'll work on this together. I'm sure that's not why, but, you know, I'm sure it also probably doesn't hurt. So we didn't get right into the nuts and bolts of it. But the outcome that I feel satisfied with is that we are going to work on understanding each other first, rather than trying to take on the whole situation, because it's a hot mess, and not in a good way, not in a like hot sexy mess, but in a, oh my goodness, how more fractured could all of these communities be? I mean, wow. So it's still going to be tough, but she and I can work on it together as a team, as two people who are on the side of understanding, of compassion, and it's not about being who's right, but how we can both win in the situation. I still feel tongue-tied and nervous, but she's so incredibly wonderful. Really, I'm quite blown away after the conversation and interaction and some fun sexy times at the end. Just saying. I'm like zippity-doo-dah compared to how I was feeling before. So that's where I stand with her. With the boyfriend, he has two other non-binary partners, and so there are pre-established rules and norms and agreements that were there before I got there, and I've learned since reading this book more than two that it's a thing, that as a new person into a polyamory dynamic that's pre-established, there are going to be agreements that you are expected to just agree to. And that's the thing that happens. So that is the thing that's happened here. And with him and I, because it's not his intersection, he is partnered with people who that's their intersection, that's their thing. So it's really tricky. And I've had problems with him before policing my pronouns. And I'm not going to go into that again, but it's a whole thing. And we managed to work through that, and that was good because he could see that my intentions were not about dehumanizing people like his partners or his partners, but rather, you know, really thinking about these questions. And, you know, once again, good intentions are nice and all, but doesn't necessarily bring you to a good outcome. So, remember what I said about the hot mess thing? Yeah. So that is something that I need to discuss with him, talk to him about what I think about it so far, some of the problems I see with the ideology that he and I assume his partners subscribe to, and say, so, honey, what's it going to be, the ideology or me? Sorry, but I don't think we can do both. Or maybe we can. I don't know. What do you think? And I am really dreading that conversation. So I've requested it for after my birthday, because I do not want to have that conversation on my birthday, and I probably won't see him on my birthday as a consequence, because we really need to talk about this before we go any further. And that's enough about that stuff for now. So that's where I am. But after this next break, I'm going to talk to you about some other sexy times I had. Sexy times. I'm gonna talk about some sexy times. It really did help me to unwind. Sexy times. When you're in an ideological muddle, get someone to give you a fuddle. Alright, you want something juicy? You want something juicy? Well, I got to have sex with two different people in a row and have an orgasm each time. Oh my God, it was so awesome. I do have what we like to refer to in Australia as shag is back today. And my niece asked me what that was. And yeah, so that's when you have a sore back from having sex. Yeah. So after my girlfriend gave me a massage and then pleasured me, I then had somebody who I have casual sex with come over, and we were just going to have a cuddle. He was just going to crash for the night because, I don't know, I'm trying to keep him in a kind of sexual cognitive dissonance or love relationship cognitive dissonance. Just there's my friend, my mate, and then there's the person who occupies the same body who maybe I fuck sometimes. I don't know. That's what I'm going with for now. Anyway, we had some amazing sex. He has this touch where I can feel the passion and the sensuality and the pleasure that he takes in feeling my body through his hands. And it's so good. So good. I got you, do, 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 and I feel nice. Sugar and spice. And so I don't know if I've mentioned this before, but I can have trouble orgasming. And I think part of it's just been re-entering the whole sexy times thing. But, you know, it's been a big frustration for me. And one of the things that I love doing the most is orgasming in the cowgirl position. If you don't know, Google it, because you should know, seriously. Anyway, and I did, and I did, and I did, and I did, and the only thing that stopped it from becoming, like, the best, most amazing orgasm was me overthinking it a bit and going, oh my god, it's going to happen. It's actually going to happen. Oh, it's happening! And so I was a little bit, like, outside of it, but it was still so good. I'm just, like, I'm still basking in the post-orgasmic glow of that second orgasm. I mean, the first one was great too, don't get me wrong, but the second one, I just love coming in the cowgirl position. Anyway, so there's a bit of spicy stuff at the end of the episode to make all the ideological stuff beforehand hopefully worth it. I don't know, what else can I say? He's a good kisser, but I don't want to kiss that much. That's okay. He's like, I don't know, he's got issues. Oh my god. Okay, some spooky stuff, but really not trying to read anything into it. But this is a bit freaky. I told him when my birthday was, and it turns out that his ex that he was with for 15 years, 16 years, 15 years, whatever it was, a long time, and like the relationship completely burnt out for completely understandable reasons, has the same birthday as me. Not the same year, but the same date. And then I was trying to be like, oh, you know, I had a friend of me I went to school with, and her birthday was the day before mine. So, you know, and he's like, oh, really? What? And it turns out that his ex also has a friend, whatever. They don't speak anymore, so who knows. That had the, like, birthday, the same deal. Went to school together, birthday before her birthday. Like, what? But still, I kept saying, do you know what? It's just, maybe it was written in the stars that we were going to have just fantastic sex tonight. Because both of us were like, that was really good sex. Yeah. Anyway, so, and I was saying, you know, the brain is built for pattern recognition. It means nothing. Because we were both freaking out. Oh, well, he was mainly because he's the one with the biggest commitment issues. But I was like, I'm just going to go with the more sort of scientific view of this one. Like, you know, go with Occam's razor. The simplest explanation is the most likely or whatever, however it goes. And say, it's just a coinkydink and our brains are spazzing out about it because we are trained for pattern recognition. And that's the end of that story. Thank you for listening. Ooh, that was a long one. At least, that's what she said.